still haven't created that table, but the table is to be created for what we've been going through. But we're now up to Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, the dangerously ill patient. And even though a lot of this we sort of know from discussions, like save him, don't take your time, don't ask a shayla, if you're in doubt, you do it anyway, and so on. There are still some ins and outs here, some nuances, which I think do shed new light on the topic. So, Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana by number 4 on page Shinsadi Aleph. First of all, he says, Vafilu Safek Sakana, even if we are not sure, we still say that you treat him as being in danger. V'ayin b'tosfos si, tosfos, which is a tosfos in Yuma, where they talk about the ruin collapsing, or maybe a tosfos there is actually pre-ruin. That tosfos may be on the discussion regarding fasting. Shalo yucha lavo b'shum inyan lidei misas Yisrael. The only way in which you will say, well, he's not dangerously ill, is if there's no way it could result in death. That's what we're talking about. That's what we say, then there's no doubt. But otherwise, if it could result in death, then we treat him as chole sheyesh bo sakana, ad kan lashono, end of quote. But now, he says the following. Uklulim b'hagdara zu, included in this category, chole asher lefi hargasha so, who, machalaso misukenes. This includes a patient who personally believes that his disease is dangerous. So that's exactly what we have to ask about. Because that's our next paragraph here that we have to wrestle with is precisely that question. The patient says, help me, I'm dying. And the doctor says, come on, no you're not. That's exactly what we have to deal with. So, well, what you have to deal with, but what we're going to address here. So he says, he believes machalaso misukenes, that his disease is indeed dangerous. Even if the doctor's mindset is not zeha, is not literally identified with the that of the patient, in other words, he thinks the patient's wrong, but dehainu legabei sug hatipul hadarush, specifically regarding the type of treatment that is needed. That's what we're talking about. Where the disagreement is, the doctor says, this is what we should do for your condition. And the patient says, no, I need this done for my condition. You have to break Shabbos to do such and such. That's what we're saying. You follow the patient. Aval, however, and we're going to come back to that, but I want to finish his thought. Aval im menugedes lo, but if the doctor is actually opposing his view, dahainu bikviya sug hamachala, as far as the type of illness in the first place, kishaladas harofe ein kan kol sakana, when the doctor says there's no danger at all, ein zechole sheyesh bo sakana, we don't call that a dangerously ill person. That person is not considered to be in danger. So let's refine this. I think that we need to even go further here. I think, and tell me what you see here, but I think what he's actually saying, we're on the page that's Shin Sadi Aleph, where the doctor agrees that the patient is in danger, but the doctor says he needs treatment X, and the patient says he needs treatment Y, we're going to listen to the patient. So far. Where the doctor says there's no danger at all, and the patient says, yes, there is, then we're not going to listen to the patient, we're going to listen to the doctor. I think that's what we've said so far. Does that emerge from what you're reading? I mean, that seems to fit his statement. That's all the first piece. We need, though, to spend some more time on this in order to get this a little more clear. So I refer you to Source Aleph on those sheets that I emailed around. The first source, this is the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha is a commentary to Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim, credited to the Chafetz Chaim in general, although some parts are supposed to have been written by his son-in-law. We don't have a good way to tell you know, on a particular section. The general assumption is Chafetz Chaim, unless there's something to indicate otherwise. So, source Aleph deals with a line in the Shulchan Aruch that talks about where the patient says something is necessary, and the doctor says, no, it's not. And this is what he writes. Ayin b'Mishneh Berurah, see the Mishneh Berurah, shekasavti b'shem haradvaz, where I quoted the Radvaz, Chelek Dalet, Siman Tesvav, to say the following. Shem chole omer tsarich ani letrufa plonis. That if the patient says, I need this particular cure, v'rofe omer eino tsarich, and the doctor says, no, you don't, shomen lechole, that's where we listen to the patient, where it's a disagreement about treatment, not about diagnosis. Because he says it's like fasting on Yom Kippur. In the Gemara regarding fasting on Yom Kippur, it says if the patient says I need to eat and the doctor says no you don't, we listen to the patient. That's the rule for Yom Kippur. So he views that as parallel to the illness case. The patient says I need a treatment and the doctor says no you don't. Ulefia niyus daiti. He says, in my humble opinion, ein hadvarim amurim. This is not said except where the patient says, I feel illness in a particular limb, particular part of the body, and therefore they should give me such and such a treatment, because it will help illness in this particular limb. In other words, the patient has a logical argument of, I have kidney pain, and this is what you give someone for kidney pain, and therefore that's what you should give to me. We listen to him because the principle that the heart knows its own bitterness is relevant in all cases, meaning including this, where he has said he had pain in this area, and you give him whatever is needed for that. And even if the doctor says he doesn't need any medicine, ein shomen lo, we don't listen to him. Aval, however, im hamachla yidua, if the illness is a known illness, v'achola omer shetrufa zumo elas lamachla zu, and the patient says such and such a treatment is effective for this disease, v'harofe omer she'eno mo'il, and the doctor says, no, that doesn't help this disease. Not this won't help you, you don't need it. But that doesn't work for the disease you're describing. Then I'm not going to listen to the patient to break Shabbos. So it's a very interesting distinction that he's drawing. If a person says, I have strep, okay, leave aside any danger or non-danger involved, but just to use something where there's a generally agreed upon treatment of antibiotics for strep throat. So if the patient says, I have strep, and the doctor says, no, you don't, and the patient says, yes, I do, and I need antibiotics, according to what he's saying here, you listen to the patient and you give him the antibiotics. Right? That's what the Bir Halacha seems to be saying. Whereas, if he says, I have strep throat, and therefore I need a shot of insulin, and the doctor says, that's not how we treat strep throat, we are not going to listen to the patient. This is different from what the Nishmas Avram said. Are we... Yeah?
...leads a lot of problems, because if the patient insists that he has diagnosis X, and the doctor says... your diagnosis, why?
Well, he hasn't discussed arguments about well, he has, I suppose.
Maybe they won't agree so far that they think he has strep.
I mean, well, he did actually, and he did discuss diagnosis, truth to tell. He said that in the diagnosis case, we're going to listen to the patient. The patient says, I have strep. The doctor says, no, you don't. It sounds like we're listening to the patient so far.
So you're basically listening to the patient for the diagnosis. But if he wants a treatment that doesn't match the diagnosis, then you don't listen to that.
That's what it sounds like from the Bir Halacha. That's what it sounds like from the Bir Halacha. Okay. We're not done yet. But right now it sounds like that's correct. Diagnosis, it goes with the patient. Choice of treatment goes with the doctor. I think that's a good way to sum up what he said so far.
The treatment still goes with the patient if the doctor agrees on the diagnosis.
I think not. He says if the disease is known and the patient says this treatment will work, right? The fourth line there. Right? The patient says this works for this illness and the doctor says you're crazy.
The patient's not agreeing on the treatment, but they're not disagreeing necessarily on the diagnosis.
Correct. That's right. Where the disagreement is on diagnosis, we're going to go with the patient. Where the disagreement is on the treatment, we're going to go with the doctor. That's the way that the Bir Halacha is framing it. So he continues in the brackets. Umikom makom efshar lomar dehechi deomer hachole diyadua lo sheteva gufoli hisrapos mimachla zu kishenotel refua zu. It's possible to suggest that where the patient says, I know my nature, and I know that when I have this disease, doing this cures me. Efshar deshomen lo. Then it's possible that we do listen. There it is possible to contend, you know your own body more than 100 doctors do, you know that you get better with this, that is considered a legitimate argument. That's what he brings in the brackets. So you could actually make an argument for this sort of personalized, customized treatment, saying to the doctor, I understand what you're saying, I know that's not how you treat patients, but this works for me. He didn't say whether you've actually tried it before. That's sort of the implication. I know this works for me suggests that you have some reason to think so. Not simply, I had a dream last night and I think that this, you know, in the dream I saw, you know, brand whatever, and that's what I'm going to be taking. We're not going that far.
So in that case, you don't listen to the patient for treatment?
That's what it sounds like. He says it's possible to say. Efshar, he said. After the brackets, he continues, "Im lo deika chashash shema titref daito alav." Unless we're in a case where there's a fear that if you don't give him this treatment, he's going to get upset, and at that point, potentially psychologically, he's going to be weakened because he thinks no one's listening to him, no one's paying attention, no one's going to treat me. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? And his health goes downhill as a result of that. That's a different ballgame. When he sees that they're not doing what he's asking for, that's the idea. I'm going to skip the end of this point in the Bir Halacha, where he discusses regarding a woman who just gave birth. But that's his core idea. So now go back.
Fascinating question, because take away Shabbos. Say this is Tuesday.
I was wondering. Yes.
Yeah, that's
like. This wouldn't fly on a Tuesday.
Right. I was wondering what would happen to you professionally.
It happened to me. I had strep. I went to the doctor, and he said, you don't have strep. It was all my case. It was something that came out. Yeah, you know, so I was telling you I had strep. I was so sick. And I had a stomach hurt. And I was getting sicker. They was you know, 2:30. You don't have to. Please, let's check. You don't have strep. Let's took a rapid test. You have strep.
Well, that's true, but what I think Laser's talking about, and what I would tend to agree with, is let's imagine the following scenario. You test positive for strep. The doctor says, okay, I'm going to start you on a course of antibiotics, and he writes up one of those standard ones, and you say, no, I don't want that, I want insulin. Professionally, is a doctor allowed to actually, you know, inject somebody with insulin for strep because the patient says, well, I know this works for me?
But the question is, are we even dealing with that? Are we dealing strictly with Shabbos when you have to make a decision on Shabbos?
No. You're telling me that this justifies breaking Shabbos for it. It certainly justifies breaking Tuesday for it. If you're going to really... it sounds bizarre, though.
The principles are the same here.
Well, it's usually a practice issue.
You can imagine that this is... the whole issue here is that you are thinking that you don't have to break Shabbos. He's telling you that you do. So
imagine that's the issue.
But imagine that it's Tuesday. So I mean that means that the same scenario, right? Forget about the fact that there's going to be an issue of this or the rice or the right. The fact is, I mean, do we really follow what the patient, you know, suggests, whether it be on a diagnostic issue or a treatment issue? Forget Shabbos.
The assumption is
that yes, we do.
But
because of Shabbos, then you'll only say that it works only on the therapeutic issue and not on the diagnostic issue.
Right. So what the Nishmas Avram was saying comes from this Bir Halacha, when the Nishma, in the bracketed comment specifically, when the Nishma Savram said, where the patient says, I am dangerously ill, and the doctor doesn't agree regarding the type of treatment, then we're going to follow the patient.
See, yeah. I can live with that example for Shabbos or Yom Tov. That was the exact example you said. Right, but that would be the Shabbos example. In other words, you know, the doctor doesn't think it's an illness, and then someone says, really, you do, but that's not what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about
well, I would have asked the doctor for antibiotic on Shabbos. I'm saying I'm so sick, I really would like to start, I need antibiotic. And the doctor says, you don't need antibiotic because you don't have strength.
Now, what's interesting to me in particular...
Or is it that the doctor may just not want to do it because it's a Chilul Shabbos and he doesn't think it's a thing, and that's really the only issue, that there's a concern about Chilul Shabbos.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's about medical assessment. What's particularly interesting is that the Nishmas Avram has sided with the Bir Halacha on one part and disagreed on the other part. Because on the other hand, when it came to the patient saying, I am dangerously ill, and a doctor saying, no, you're not, the Bir Halacha stance was, Lev Yodea Maras Nafsho, the patient knows his own condition. And the Nishmas Avram said, no. The Nishmas Avram said, with their opposed, the doctor says, you are not in any danger whatsoever. That's not called a dangerously ill patient. And in footnote 51, he footnotes you to a footnote in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, where they say, the principle of Lev Yodea Maras Nafsho, that somebody knows the bitterness of his soul, he knows the pain that he's experiencing, that idea may be true, but a patient, in the words of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, is a boor in the Hebrew, which is roughly equivalent to boor in the English. The patient is a boor when it comes to figuring out whether he's sick or not. The patients don't know, or not even whether he's sick or not, but in terms of figuring out what kind of illness they have, the patient doesn't really know. He doesn't have the education. There's no reason for him to know. He can tell you he's in pain. He cannot tell you what that pain means. And when someone who is trained tells you, you follow the view of the person who is in who has been trained. Now, I say this, having just read an article tonight about, it was on CNN's website, about a child who had a genetic problem in which the muscles in the trachea collapse. And apparently it's like 1 in 2200, they have the trachea collapsing, and now they came up where they used a 3D printer to print a splint, and that actually worked. And now it's going to be absorbed in the body over the next couple of years, but it was an amazing article. But they happened to mention that the way it was diagnosed was that they were out at a restaurant, and the kid was a couple of months old, and the kid turned blue. And they went to the hospital, and the hospital, they told him, he just aspirated something. And they sent him home, and then he went home, and he did it again. And at that point, they said, okay, something is going on, and they looked into it, and so on. So I'm sitting there thinking, that's a case just like this. I mean, the parents are frantic and saying, there's something really wrong, and the doctor is saying, no, it's just, you know, the kid aspirated something. So you sort of wonder, as you read it, maybe the boor has something to say sometimes. Nonetheless, that's the statement that's being made here. Let's keep reading. Back in the Nishmas Avram. Chole shelafidas rofe yesh sakana or filu safek sakana lechayav. Let's say there is a patient who, in the estimate of the doctor, is in danger, or even possible danger. Ogamim ein machaloso mesukenes lefi sha'ah, or it's not dangerous right now, ach yesh lachshosh shetigbar, but there's a concern that it's going to get worse. V'tesaken es chayav, and it will endanger his life. Im lo yinasein lo tipu mesuyam bo bayom, unless you treat him that day. So that's another type of chole sheyesh bo sakana. Okay, in danger now, immediate danger, or will be in danger before Shabbos is over. Those are in this category. V'chein, and also, Hamahalech kibari, someone who is walking around as though he is healthy, as far as anybody can see. Ach yistakenim lo yikabel tipul mesuyam bazman, but he'll be in danger if he doesn't get treatment by a certain time. Kigon cholas socheres hamakabel insulin, such as the diabetic who needs insulin. So you don't wait until he's in shock to start treating him. You give him the regular treatments. That's called cholas sheyesh bo sakana, even though anybody looking at the patient won't recognize anything.
But he doesn't have to be in danger only on Shabbos, even if it's after Shabbos.
So that's interesting. The way he's worded it here, he has not said that. As of now, he has not. He has not said that. Yes, but he can just as easily.
So he needs it. The diabetic needs their treatment at whatever intervals.
Well, let's say he'll be okay for 24 hours, but not 47 hours.
Wait, back up. There are two different types of scenarios. I'm not speaking now medically, but there are two different types of scenarios. Scenario number one is where the patient needs to have a treatment, and in the event the patient does not have a treatment, by 11 o'clock Saturday night, he's going to be dangerously ill. But he could have that treatment at 4 in the afternoon, or he could have the treatment at 9 o'clock at night. I'm not relating this type of diabetes. I'm just saying in general. That's one type of a scenario. Second type of a scenario is the patient needs the treatment at certain times, and if the patient doesn't have the treatment at those times, let's say 4 in the afternoon, then at 11 o'clock he's going to be in danger, and even if you gave him the injection after Shabbos, it's too late at that point. He's going to be in danger at 11 o'clock. In the former case, where it can wait until after Shabbos, I see no reason to do it on Shabbos. Do it after Shabbos. Hold on, just to spell this out. In that case, I see no reason to do it on Shabbos. Unless there's some kind of fear that it won't get done after Shabbos, or that maybe you're off on your times, and there's suffix, then there's doubt. That's a different story. But otherwise, I see no reason to compel you to do that. In the latter case, where if you don't take it at 4, you'll be in danger at 11, then of course you take it at 4. And that will work for your antibiotic question. If the antibiotics have to be taken at the same time every day,
you're not going to be in danger if you don't take it, but they say you're supposed to take it at the same time every day.
So, you know what, that's too specific. I'm going to hold off with that until after.
Even something like
that. It goes beyond the issues that we have here.
Okay, because something like that we're not, or whatever, like allergy medication that I'm taking daily, which it's not that I'm not going to die if I don't take areas, but...
Right, so that's
every day for however many weeks.
Right, so that goes back to the questions of the Chola She'en Bo Sahara. Right, the non-dangerous Leo. I think it's broader than this.
You might be allowed actually to take the areas without any problems at all over an antibiotic on Shabbos. Because the whole problem of taking the medication on Shabbos is that you're going to feel sick, you're going to come and take it, you're going to do some zera that you're not allowed to do. But if you have allergies, there's no concern for that. So even if you didn't have it, so somewhat counterintuitive, but it works out that if you, like a vitamin, I don't know, I'll defer to you, but...
Right, I'm not touching vitamins right now.
Right, but the concept is if it's something that is not something... Now, the person's sick, he's going to go and grind up herbs on Shabbos because he needs the antibiotic, but if it's an allergy, you won't.
Right, but very sick from allergy.
Well, no,
but if
she's not sick from this and is taking it for...
Where there are things that you take as a healthy person, we've discussed that. That's a different category altogether. But I don't want to go afield from the whole issue. We have enough to see that's in this category before we start on something that's not this category.
But isn't all of this like not pills anyway?
We're on the whole issue post sakana. We're dealing with a dangerously ill person. Lest you grind something up.
It doesn't have to be medication specifically.
Right. I mean, it's... I really want to avoid those right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But in footnote 53, he gives you the background for this, which does touch on the antibiotic question, sort of, actually, in a sense, although it's hard to... You'll see. He talks about the patient who right now looks like he's healthy, but will be in danger if he doesn't get treatment. So this, he traces back to something you need to see in source base on the sheets that I printed out. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Mishnah says, "Ein shorin is hachiltis beposhrin, avon nosin letoch hachometz." Chiltis is some kind of thing that they create medicine out of. I'm leaving that what chiltis is precisely because it's not germane for right now. But they make it into a medicine, and the way they do it is by soaking it in warm water. So he says, you're not allowed to soak the chiltis in warm water on Shabbos, You can put it in vinegar if you want. Why can't I do it in warm water? So Amar Abaye midirabanan. In the Gemara on that, Abaye says it's a rabbinic prohibition. It's what we call uvda dechol. It's a weekday type activity that this is done during the week as a means of processing it. We don't do that. And Rashi there says he uses the magic words uvda dechol. These are weekday activities. So far, so good. Now take a look at source Gimel in the story. Chiltis was used as a treatment for something that they call yokra deliba, heaviness of the heart. Could refer to some form of angina? I have no idea. I mean, different ideas are suggested. But Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yokra deliba. Rav Acha bar Yosef shows symptoms of this heaviness of the heart. Also, the kamei de marokvi comes to marokva and asks him, "Can I get treated?" He says, "Take 3 doses of chiltis across 3 days." Azal ishti chamshi b'shabas umali shabas. Thursday he takes it. Friday he takes it. Litzafra, in the morning, Azal Shal Be'medrash. He went to the base medrash and asked, "Can I take this medicine on Shabbos?" Amrulei, they said to him, "Tani Devei Rav Ada, was learned in the yeshiva Rav Ada, Varmilat Tana Devei Mar Bar Rav Ada, Shosa Adam Kavo Kabayin Ve'eno Choshesh." He said, "You could drink it. You could drink as much as you want. A kav of it. So it's a volume measure. You get 2 kav of it. As much as you want, you can drink." Amrulei, he says to them, "That wasn't my question. My question isn't, can I drink it? That's my medicine. I've been taking the medicine for days. I understand I can take the medicine. My question is, am I allowed to soak it in water? In hot water?" Rav Chiya bar Avin says to him, "Oh yeah, I had that happen. And I asked Rav Ada bar Ahava what I should do. He didn't know." Why the Gemara needs to tell me that, I don't know. But Ravada Brava doesn't know the answer. So I went and asked the question to Rav Huna. Rav, and he said, so declares Rav, Shora Bitzone, Umaniach Bechama, don't soak it in hot water. Soak it instead in cold water. But leave it out in the sun. And that way it's going to warm via the direct influence of the sun. It'll warm up that way. You follow? So that's his suggestion that he gets, is that he should put it in the cold water and leave it out in the sun. Then he continues though, and he says, "Afilu lemanda asar, hani mili hecha delo ishti klal, aval hacha kaven de ishti chamsha umale shavsa iloshasi b'shabas mistakein." He says that statement that you shouldn't do this is only where you haven't been taking it already. But if you already took it on Thursday and you took it on Friday, then you can take it on Shabbos, because if you didn't take it on Shabbos, you would be in danger. So this recommendation, let me make sure I said that clearly, because I think that I garbled that. This recommendation of soak it in the cold water and leave it out in the sun, we are saying that will apply even to this person who took it on Thursday and took it on Friday and now needs to take it on Shabbos. So I have a question. Why, if he's going to be in danger, does he need to do this backward way of heating it in the sun? If he's dangerously ill, right? If he's dangerously ill, just let him take it directly.
Let him soak it in warm water.
Correct. What's this backward route being employed for? So that's the Ron's question in Source Dalet. The Ron says, "Vim Tomer, you might ask, Lama li shor betzone no manicha bechama. Why do I need to soak the thing in cold water and leave it out in the sun? Befoshrin gufayu lishteri came into mistaken. He should be allowed to do it directly in hot water because he's dangerously ill." So he gives 2 answers. His first answer is, it's true. You're 100% right. Since it could be done in the sun, we're not going to let you use the hot water, because we try to do it in as different a way as possible. But only because he's dangerously ill. Ha'enu mistakin, if he was not going to be in danger, lo sharinan shariya, avagav de b'shriya gufa lekali yisura derabanan. If not for the fact that he was going to be in danger, we wouldn't let him soak it at all, even though it's only rabbinically prohibited. D'shalo yaseh kederach shu'osa b'chol, because we don't want you to do it as you do it during the week. So what he says is, where you have a patient who can skip Shabbos, he should skip Shabbos. If he can't skip Shabbos, if it would be dangerous for him to skip Shabbos, then he should do it in as unusual a way as possible. And even though he's dangerously ill, he should still be looking for the unusual way to do it. And then he concludes, V'yesh mefarshim, on the other hand, some disagree. And they say that's not what's going on here. D'mistakein d'hacha lav davka. When it said he's in danger, it didn't really mean danger. Ela mitzta'er machmas cholyo. He's simply in pain because of this yogra deliba condition. Like the case over there, and the truth of the matter is, they're talking about where there is no danger. If there was real danger, according to this approach, then we would say, take it however you want to take it, and heat it in the water, and don't worry about a thing. So two very different explanations. One explanation says he is in danger, one explanation says no, he's not. Yes?
How did he come to the conclusion that it wasn't what it said?
Well, I think he has a problem. What's the problem with his first explanation? What's the problem with his first explanation?
Because you should be, when you're Cholashiyesh Boskata, you should have to be jumping through hoops.
Yeah. You're dangerously ill. What are you playing games for? I think that may be what drives him to look at that. Now, we're going to come back to that. But the point that I brought this for right now, and the reason why I mentioned it here, is because of footnote 53.
So it's you saying that there's no concept of this idea of Efshar L'Shanuyim Mishanina. In other words, when you are in Kol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, there's no...
Hang in there. Read the footnote, okay? Hold on. Read footnote 53. He first gives you the reference in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, see the Mishnah Berurah there. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though Raisas may be done for someone who, if he misses a dose, is going to be in danger, even though right now he looks just fine. And then he continues and says, Va'omar li moreno harav noivertshlita. He says, Rav Neuvert, author of Shemesh Shabbos Kelchasa, told me, Shalafia perish hasheni v'chidushay haran al Shabbos kufmem amad aleph, according to the second approach in the Ran, that in this case is where he wasn't dangerously ill. So mashakas of the Gemara Sham mistakein lav davka, that mistakein was not literal. Ela mitzta'er machmas cholyo, he's simply in pain, and that was it. Vayim le'el, 3 aleph, and see our earlier discussions, which were about chol she'ein bo sakana. So in other words, he says there is this alternative view. Right? There is this argument that you could say that mistaking was not literal, and therefore if he is in fact dangerously ill, we would say you do anything and everything, you don't do any shinuyim. So Rav Neuvert said to him, you should know there is this view in the Ran that says let's throw shinuy out the window. We're going to continue on with shinuy stuff in a few minutes, so if we get there, we'll see. But there's more to say on that. But that's what we have right now.
I guess there is an opinion that even if it's dangerous, you should try to do things a little differently.
Correct. It all depends on which view I take in that run. That's right. Okay. That's posing. And the answer is, it, we'll see it on the next page.
Well, you really sometimes don't have time to ask the basic questions.
Yes, that's true. It's really in the next. It's really in the next column. It's really in the next column. I'm not kidding. Okay, we are one line up from the bottom. Matzavim o machalos shechazal higdiru kimesukanim. Situations or diseases. This is now, remember, we've been defining what it means to be dangerously ill. So our first category of dangerously ill was the person who said that he knows he's dangerously ill. The doctor may disagree, but he knows he's dangerously ill. The second one was where the doctor says that he's dangerously ill. The third one was where he's walking around looking healthy, but you know if he misses a dose, he's going to be in danger. The fourth category is matzavim, situations, o machalos, or diseases, shechazal higdiru kimisukanim, which the sages identified as dangerous situations. Kigon yoledes mishas leida ve'atzof yom hashvi'i, like a woman who gives birth from day 1 until day 7. We vary between day 3 and day 7. That's fine. Kol sheyesh tzarach b'kach, as long as there is a need for that, for something. They said that's considered to be a dangerous situation. In parentheses, he notes the difference between the first 3 days and the latter 4. But that's considered to be dangerous. And he says that's a fourth category, because that's a condition which they said is automatically considered dangerous, even if the doctor says, no, it's not. This has magical powers, so to speak. This is automatically considered a dangerous situation. Follow? Okay. Now, he says the following. He talks about how we treat. And he says, l'cholek hazeh, for some patient like this, meaning in categories 1 through 4, im zmano bahul, so if the time is in haste, meaning that you don't have time to start asking questions and figuring out what your shinui would look like. Yes, and that's what I meant when I said in the next column. And you have to treat right away. Meaning, in a very short span. And that's what you would do during the week. You would take care of him immediately. During the week, you wouldn't wait either. So you do for him anything that he needs, like you would during the week, without any change and without any hesitation. And regarding this, it is said it is a mitzvah to break Shabbos for him. One who is energetic about it is to be praised. And one who asks questions is considered a murderer. Okay, that's what we say. You don't start playing games with, how can I do this in an unusual way? Ah, however, im zmano eino bahul, if it's not in such a rush, ubiyom chol hayu mechakim zman ma ad sheyiftach hamirpa'a o ad sheyasigu rofe. And if it was during the week, frankly, they would wait a little while until the clinic opened or until they could get a doctor. Al afsha barushi starchu lechal al Shabbos, the efsha lechakos ad mutzai Shabbos. Granted that they know they will need to break Shabbos, it's not waiting for Saturday night. It's only a question of whether it's going to happen Friday night or Shabbos morning, but it's going to have to happen. Yase mashet sarich lasos avur hachole al yedei nachri. So he should do whatever needs to be done for the patient via someone who isn't Jewish, im afshar, if possible. The im e afshar, if that's not possible, yasem ashet sarich lasos, im afshar b'shinui, then use a shinui, following that view in the Ran. The im afshar, yishalu shalas chacham, and it would be ideal if it is possible for them to ask for a psak. Again, that's where you have the time. You have the time, so ask the question, do the shinui, call the non-Jew, whatever, you know, whatever the options are in such a situation. Okay. Rav Neuwirth says, if there isn't a possibility of asking the shayla, al harofe who had in kol shemetabel bo lazas kol mashe daito nachutz lerefuas hachole afilu l'shem kach tzarech lavor yisurei Torah. So the doctor or whoever's doing the treating has to do whatever he thinks is necessary, including violating biblical prohibitions. Right? If you don't have the time to ask, then you just do. V'cheinim l'metapal yesh safek b'halacha mutar lasos o b'shabbos amtzvich m'lchakos amotzoi Shabbos. And the same thing is true if the person doing the treatment has some doubt as far as may this be done on Shabbos, may it not be done, it doesn't matter, you do it.
But does Ein Efshar's show me time-wise, or you can't get to somebody?
All of the above.
It's anything.
Whatever, yeah, whatever the obstacle is. Whenever we talk about breaking Shabbos for the sake of a patient, based on what we've said, he says you have to remember the comment of the Or HaChaim on Chumash. He makes the comment on the pasuk of Ach es shavso zayin tishmoru, only you shall guard my Shabbos. The Or HaChaim writes, shemechal Shabbos al chole ein ze karoy chilo. That's not called breaking Shabbos. Adarava, zekari shmiras Shabbos. That's called observing Shabbos, for you to do this for the patient. V'kosev ha-Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, Mishachilo Shabbos mishum pikuach nefesh, eino tzaruch l'chapara klal. If someone breaks Shabbos to save a life, there's no kapara required. He doesn't have to clap al-chayt, come Yom Kippur, for having done so. This was what he was supposed to do. And then he writes, Umashinagu Nashim Hamadlikos Haner Bishvil Yoledes Bishabas Lis Anos Acharkach. He says there was a practice that women who needed to light a candle for a woman who was giving birth on Shabbos would fast afterwards. That was their they felt they needed to atone. And so they would fast. So he says, Hu holilos vesichlos. He says that's foolishness. The nonsense. There's no reason for them to be fasting. What they did was exactly what they were supposed to do. Okay, good. That concludes that portion of it. I guess I shouldn't start on the next piece, but he has this great point that he makes in here, in the next piece. I'll just mention it outside, because I don't want to start on the whole discussion, but I have to mention it in case anyone's not here next week. So the question you can see from the heading is, so do you ask a non-Jew or do you ask a Jew? And that's a known discussion. And the general statement is, you don't go looking for someone who isn't Jewish. You do it yourself. You certainly don't want a situation where that could cause a delay, right? You do it yourself, and I don't want to poop the ending. It'll be for next week, and it'll get people to come back. That's a good thing.